Natasha Richardson is my guest on New York & Company. She's starring in Eugene O'Neill's Anna Christie, now being performed at the Roundabout Theater, the Criterion Center in Times Square, through the 28th. It's been extended through the 28th, but unfortunately sold out, except for one show.
Well, I don't think it's unfortunately. It's wonderful. I mean,
unfortunately for the people listening, fortunately for you.
Yes, I mean, I think maybe there are one or two tickets available, but it's a thrill that it's sold out. But because of that, we're going to, well, not just because of that, but we're going to do a midnight matinee of it to benefit AIDS on February the 18th. So after we've go through it once, we'll go through it another time that night, so people can who haven't been able to get tickets will be able to get tickets for that on February the 18th.
Let's talk about accents, because in previous performances, well, in the film, Greta Garbo had a Swedish accent. Mm-hmm. Character is Swedish. Liv Ullmann played it on Broadway. She mm-hmm. has a Swedish accent. You didn't do that. In fact, you really aimed more for a Minneapolis accent, mm-hmm. didn't you? That's mm-hmm. what I hear.
Yeah, well, that is what I tried to do, because it didn't make any sense, the Swedish thing, to me, because she's lived in this country since she was 5 years old. When her dad bursts into Swedish, she says, "What's that, Swedish? I don't know it." And it's not written with a Swedish accent. Mm-hmm. O'Neill mysteriously puts two Y's instead of a J in her whole part. Why twice? And I thought, this is just weird. So I thought, you know, she's been brought up in Minnesota and spent time in St. Paul, and so that's what I went for.
And accents really have been part of what you've done over the years. I know you don't want to become like the Meryl Streep of Great Britain in doing accents. People saying, wow, wasn't it amazing? But it is amazing. Patty Hearst, you did that with an American accent, The Handmaid's
right.
Tale.
Yeah.
You've almost become a master of various American accents.
Well, thank you. I'm flattered. I mean, it's partly because I just do have an ear for it, and partly because, you know, I feel half American. I would love to be an American, I guess.
You're living here now, aren't
yes,
you? In New York?
I live in New York, but my dad lived in L.A. from when I was 10 years old, so I was partly raised here. So, you know, it's not such a stretch, but I do work on it, because if you're playing someone from New Orleans, I wouldn't like someone in New Orleans to be sitting there watching their TV going, well, there's no way that girl comes from here. So it's important to me.
In fact, you appeared I just saw you on television, Tennessee Williams.
Right.
What, Long Hut? What is it? Now I've forgotten the name of the
Suddenly
Last Summer.
Suddenly Last Summer.
I assume that people from New Orleans are not going to say, boy, did she miss that accent.
Well, I hope they don't.
Is that a distraction, or is that part of what makes acting exciting?
What?
Having to worry about an accent when there are all these other things to think about.
You don't. I mean, I don't. If I was worrying about the accent, I wouldn't be able to do it. So I do the accent work well in advance and work with a coach, and so that then when I actually come to work on it, I'm not even thinking about whether it's the right A sound or whatever, because mm-hmm. otherwise it wouldn't be spontaneous.
This is actually something that British actors have had to do forever, because you can play a part from the north of England and you have to really sound like you come from the north mm-hmm. of England. There are upper class roles, lower class mm-hmm. roles. And this is, if you can't do them, you really can't make it in British theater.
Well, I guess, yes.
One of the things that so many people have remarked about in this production is how unmelodramatic and unsentimental it seems, especially in the light of what we've seen in the past. And the controversial happy ending doesn't seem so happy in this production. Was this something that you people went about consciously to do?
Yes. I mean, I think it was, for a start, none of us saw it as melodramatic or sentimental. We saw it like these are real sad, dumb, silly, sweet people, like all of us are. Mm-hmm. But if you cheat the emotion and the pain and the anger and the humor of this play, and there's a lot of humor in it, intended humor, then it becomes melodramatic because it's hollow. if it's absolutely filled, it's not melodramatic at all. Mm-hmm. So I think we were conscious of that. And in terms of the ending, we were just determined. We didn't see it as an upbeat ending. We saw it a bit like life, you know. There's some hope. Maybe it'll be okay. Maybe it won't be. The odds are stacked against all of us. And so and that was O'Neill's intention. He was very upset when it was misinterpreted as a happy ending. And he said, you know, look, he said, these aren't great tragic heroes and heroines. They're ordinary folk, and I've given them the only ending they could have. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to fulfill O'Neill's intention.
In fact, every time I started feeling a little superior to the play, O'Neill would come up with this incredible speech. Often you were the one that got to say the lines. That would be so moving, and the kinds of things that Chekhov would have been pleased to have written. And then you say, ah, that's why this thing won a Pulitzer Prize, because it really does have the power to make you laugh and to make you cry.
Well, that's what I think. I mean, like the great writers like Chekhov and O'Neill do that. You know, one minute you're laughing at the stupidity of these people and yourself, mm-hmm. and the next minute you're crying.
What about the problems of building a role like this? You have to keep Anna under a lot of control during the first half of the play, mm-hmm. so that what she goes through in the second half will have its full effect. At the same time, you have Liam Neeson, who seems to be almost a force of nature working with you, and Rip Torn doing his thing. Were you conscious of that, that you really couldn't allow yourself to shine as much as you might like if you were just trying to win a competition until everything happens in the second half?
Yes, I think it's something that was, in fact, maybe at one point I was a little too concerned. I said, you know, I can't show my full hand at first, because Anna can't, because she's built up barriers and she's she's got this terrible wound inside of her. But until those walls explode and it all comes out, she is a bit under wraps. But I think the director said to me, you know, don't be too frightened of letting some of that out earlier. But she doesn't. It is a journey, and we all go through journeys. And if she'd gone through her journey at the beginning of the play, then there's no story.
Well, one of the ways we even know what Anna is going through is through her body language.
Mm.
And is this something that you are conscious of working at? When we first see her, she seems both very young and very old.
Mm.
And it's partly in the way, the pinched way that you walk and move across the stage.
Right. Well, it's not technically worked out. It's just that I imagine myself in that situation. You know, she's been carrying these bags, these suitcases that are so heavy she can hardly lift them, so that her arms are aching. She's been sick. She hasn't had much to eat. She's been sitting up all night in a train. You know, so I sort of think myself into that, and then it manifests itself physically, I guess.
How much of that ability comes from having grown up in a family where your father was a famous director and your mother was a great actress? Did you watch them at work and pick it up by osmosis?
I don't know, Leonard, if you know how much it comes from genes. I mean, I know racehorses are bred, but it doesn't seem to always work that way. And in a way, it sort of would have been more obvious if I'd run in the opposite direction. I did pick up a lot from osmosis. I inherited from my father, as well as a sort of passion for this country, I inherited a passion for movies from an early age, and I just watched everything, particularly like old musicals, Judy Garland musicals and stuff like that. And I watched my mother's work, and I visited movie sets, and I just loved it, and it was just a vocation. And I also, I guess, from my father, as well as being inspired by my mother's work, from my father as a director, I learned what a director expects from an actor, and a level of professionalism that I sort of gave me a, put me a little ahead of the game, if you like, because most people have to learn that when they start working professionally, and I had observed that for a long time.
My great thanks to Natasha Richardson, star now of Anna Christie at the Roundabout, with a special performance, Benefit AIDS Research, on the
February the 18th, benefiting Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.